The following message was given by brothers Frank Hong and Dennis Cooley in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, January 26, 2020. The title of the message is Knowing and Experiencing the All-Inclusive, Extensive Christ as the Good Land, Our Allotted Portion. Scripture reading, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, and Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 9.
Portion. Thank you. We have all been allotted a portion of Christ. Oh, Lord, do give this meaning to you. Pray for our fellowship. Cause us to see. Oh, what a wonderful portion we have received. Oh, all that we need is in this portion. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In writing the book or the epistle of Colossians, Paul has a definite burden that the saints in Colossae would not be distracted by so many things, but they would see that Christ is the allotted portion of the saints in the light. I felt this is the same burden for us today. As Christians, the Lord has brought, God has put us in Christ. And Christ is our wonderful, all-inclusive, and extensive portion. And there's a need for us to know and to experience this wonderful Christ. So in writing the book of Colossians, Paul has this picture in mind, which is the good land in the Old Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, we see that God had called out Abraham after the failure of the created race. They had fallen step by step, and they were all just for themselves. God had created man for his purpose with the desire that man would express him and represent him on the earth. But man, because of the fall instigated by Satan, he has fallen further and further away from God, and he has fallen in himself. So all he cared about is to establish a culture or a society just for his existence. Eventually, even at the Tower of Babel, man came together not to worship God, but to make a tower reaching to the heavens, with the that they want that tower to be a memorial for themselves, that they will not be forgotten. So God still would not let go of his desire for man. So in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, he came and called Abraham. And his calling, Abraham, was to bring him into a land, a good land. Later we'll see that this is a land flowing with milk and honey. And everything God does, or the accomplishment of his purpose, is focused on this land. God's desire is to bring his people to this land, that they will live on this land, that this land will be everything to them. And by living on this land and enjoying the rich produce of this land, they will become a people to express God. And also on this land, a city is built and the temple is built for God's expression as God's representation. So this is God's desire and this is God's will for us. In the Old Testament, in this picture, in the New Testament, we saw last week that God wants this all-inclusive Christ to be everything to us. Amen. It is God's will that we know this Christ and experience this Christ so that out of our living and out of our gathering and coming together, he will be the expression. He will be the church will be the corporate expression. So this week we come to this second message of a series of the conference that we have in Thanksgiving Conference concerning knowing and experiencing the all-inclusive and extensive Christ as the good land. Now, the reason Paul had this picture in mind is based on Colossians 1:12. Maybe we can read this verse together again. This is very has become very familiar with us. This verse says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light." Now, the word allotted portion, this certainly points back to the fact that each of the children of Israel were allotted a land. So in the Old Testament, the land is a picture of this Christ that we have been allotted. We have the allotted portion of the saints in the light. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, says, "Therefore you have received the Christ," right? We did not just receive a piece of physical land as the Old Testament children of God, but in the New Testament, we have received the Christ, amen. Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Amen. And verse 7 says, "Having been rooted and being built up in him and being established in the faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So here is, I find it very clear that with the picture of the Old Testament land in mind, Paul is showing us or exhorting us that we have received the Christ as our portion. We need to walk in him. We need to labor on him. We need to interact with him. We need to gain him, experience him, and enjoy him. Now, I also was very touched with chapter 2, verse 8. Here, maybe we can read Colossians 2:8 again. "Beware that no one carries you off as spoil through his philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ." When Paul wrote this epistle, not only he wants to present this wonderful Christ as the all-inclusive portion for us, but he, you know, I felt that he really was writing to care for the saints in Colossians, to bring them back to this wonderful Christ. Because in verse 2a it says, "Beware that no one carries you off as spoils." And in the Old Testament history, we found many times that the children of Israel, they were on this land, but not too long. Right away, the enemy come in. All the time, the enemy is trying to take them away from this land. When they are away from the land, then God's purpose is temporarily halted. God cannot accomplish his purpose if his people are not living on this land. So Paul here is speaking something similar. Beware that you be not be, that you that no one carries you off as spoils. We have been put into Christ, and we are in Christ. But it's very easy for us in our experience to be carried off by many things other than Christ. And here he named a few things: through his philosophy and empty deceit, and also according to the tradition of man, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. Now here, in this verse, he speaks of three according to. Our living may be according to philosophies, or it may be according to traditions, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. So how is it in our experience that we are often unconsciously carried away from Christ? Well, it's very easy for us to estimate and to evaluate everything, not according to Christ, but according to our tradition, according to our culture, which are not the sinful bad things, but it's very easy for us just to default to the way we do things, the traditions, the cultures. So we have to be aware, we have to realize, and we have to come back to Christ and really take Christ as our portion, to enjoy Him and to have our heart, to have our mind renewed. In the message that was given during the Thanksgiving conference, the brother who gave this message opened up with two verses in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Maybe we can read these two verses. And I was very touched with these two verses this week. Colossians 2, 1 and 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those in Laodicea, even all who have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, they being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, unto the full knowledge of the mystery of God Christ. Now here Paul is having a struggle because he realized this is not so easy to present to the saints. Now it's easy to tell you that you've fallen into sin, that you're in your flesh. You know quite well when you sin, when you're in the flesh. But here, Paul's struggle is that their heart will be comforted and that they will be knit together in love and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, unto the full knowledge of the mystery of God Christ. So he is presenting this Christ who is all-inclusive. You know, the Christ presented in the book of Colossians is very high. But I'm afraid that many times we don't have a heart to understand or to enjoy this Christ, to apprehend this Christ. We may think this has nothing to do with me. This is something of the Old Testament. We are in Christ, but our heart may be close, may not be that open. So in this message, the brother mentioned that our heart is very important when it comes to seeing Christ as our portion, as the portion allotted to us. God actually only cares for Christ. Amen. He doesn't care for how much accomplishment you have, how successful you are, how much money you have. God only cares for Christ. And He desired to work this Christ into you. But in order for Him to do that, we have to be hungry and thirsty for Christ, for the experience and knowledge of Christ. We may know Christ objectively already. I know who He is. But do I have the subjective knowledge and experience of this Christ? Many times, it depends on how open our hearts are. You know, here it says, he prayed, or that their hearts may be comforted. You know, our heart is very important when it comes to open to other things. You know, our spirit is important in receiving the Lord. The book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians are very similar. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul speaks a lot about our spirit. That almost in every chapter he mentioned our human spirit, that we need to exercise our spirit to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So to see or to receive the spiritual revelation, we do need our spirit to be enlightened. But Colossians mentioned a lot concerning our heart. At least this phrase, our heart is being needs to be comforted, is mentioned at least two times. So when we come to the Lord, our hearts need to be turned and to open to the Lord. If our heart is not open, the Lord is so rich, there's so much for us to experience, but yet if our heart is closed, we may be missing many of the experiences that the Lord wants us to have. So this week I was quite convicted, and the Lord spoke to me, Frank, where is your heart? Yeah. And saints, we have to go to the Lord. Lord, where is my heart? When you're busy, when you're with many other things, your heart may be a little close. This week, I'm not that busy, but still, I found myself, my heart is a little cool, not so fervent to the Lord. So I need to turn my heart. I need to ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes, enlighten the eyes of my heart, that I will see the portion that I have received. I want to enjoy and experience you as this portion much more. Now, this land that it's often described in the Bible is a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. And I enjoy this point also. It says this land is a land flowing with milk and honey. This has opened a window for us to experience our wonderful Christ. Now, both milk and honey are minglings or produced by both the animal life and the plant life. Milk is produced by a cow who had digested the grass, right? And honey is produced by bee taking the nectar from the flowers. So there's the mingling of the animal life with the plant life. And this first points to the two aspects of our Lord's salvation. With our Christ, there's an aspect of redemption, and there's also an aspect of salvation. Or his life is a redeeming life, and his life is also a generating life. Amen. He is our Redeemer, and he is our Savior. And we can experience him both as the Redeemer and as the Savior. And every week in the Lord's table meeting, we're reminded that there is the bread, which signifies the Lord as the bread of life coming down out of heaven for us. He is here to feed us. Amen. There's also the cup, symbolizing his blood shed for our redemption. So we can enjoy him and appreciate him in his redeeming life, and also in his generating life. He is the milk and honey. He's the land of milk and honey for us to enjoy. In Colossians 1:12, it says that we have received or allotted this portion of the saints in the light. This phrase is quite enlightening. We have received this portion in the light. That means that if we want to enjoy this Christ, we need to be in the light. We must be in the light to enjoy this Christ. And what is light? Well, 1 John 1:5 tells us that God is light. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And he created everything by speaking that there be light. Right? Light. Something that comes from God. Also, light comes from the Word of God. In Psalm 119:105, it says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." So when we come to the Word, we can receive light, or we are brought to light. Amen. And also, Christ is light. You know, when he walked on the earth, he says, "I am the light of the world." He is, and in him is the light of life. So today we have him as the light in us. And the life of Christ is also light. This is John 1:4. And the believers are light. You know, as we are brought to the light, and I enjoy one simple definition of what light is. Light is God. Objectively, but in our experience, when we come to the presence of God, yes, if we pay attention to his presence, then we're in the light. But many times when we lose his presence, and you know when you lost God's presence, then you're in darkness. you don't enjoy your portion of Christ that much. So whenever you lose the God's presence, whenever you feel that you're in darkness, you need to turn your heart. Come back to the light. The light is always shining. And also, in Matthew 5:14, it says that the believers are to be light of the world. So as we enjoy Christ, who is light, we also become light. When we have some fellowship with others, if they enjoy the Lord, they're in the light, right away you feel that there is the presence of God. And you are being strengthened and you're being refreshed when you're being brought into God's presence. And also the church is the light. The church as the lampstand is the shining lampstand. So when we come to the church meetings, when we come together with the saints, we need to be in the light. We're brought to the light. So it is in the condition of this light that we enjoy Christ as our all-inclusive portion. Now, concerning milk and honey, we also enjoy one verse very much this week, and that's in Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 11. Maybe we can read this verse together. Your lips drip fresh honey, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garment is like the fragrance of Lebanon. This verse is very experiential. As we are spending time with the Lord, it says, and here in the Song of Songs, here the lover of the love that the female who is being pursued by the male, who symbolizes all the believers in our experience, in our fellowship with Christ, it says that her lips drips honey. So she enjoy honey for herself, something to strengthen her. When we enjoy the Lord as the sweetness to strengthen us, she also has some honey from her lips. And this is really like the word of grace proceeding out of the Lord's mouth. You know, when the Lord was on the earth, in Luke chapter 4, says that they were amazed of the word of grace proceeding out of his mouth. So as we're enjoying Christ, our speaking also should be something that enliven or strengthen others. We shouldn't just say something as gossips or as judgment to others, but as we're enjoying the Lord, we don't have to try. It's not that we try to say something to lift others up. But when we share our enjoyment of Christ in our fellowship, in your sharing and prophesying, your words can be honeys to strengthen someone, to encourage someone. And not only this honey is dripping from her mouth, it also says that the milk and honey are under her tongue. This came about not overnight, but there was some storage of the enjoyment of this Christ as honey and milk under her tongue. Means that she's always ready to have something to supply the weak ones and to encourage the downcast ones, the depressed ones. Wouldn't you like to be this kind of person? I really aspire to be this kind of person. But this doesn't come overnight. This comes by a lot of gatherings, inward activities, and careful storage of our experience of Christ. I really enjoy those utterances. We need to gather Christ every day when we get up in the morning, and throughout the day, we need to stay in his presence. We need to contact Christ. The more we enjoy him, then this Christ will work within us. Just like the bee, there's something going on in that bee. We don't know I don't know what's going on, but something sweet eventually comes forth from the gathering of the nectar, and then something being constituted into that bee, and then there's something sweet that flows out when there's the need. So let us all be this kind of persons. We enjoy our Christ as our portion, and then we can have this honey and milk under our tongue to feed and to nourish those who are in need.
I would like to just continue this point about the milk and honey being under the tongue of the lover of the Lord as a testimony before I continue with the last point of this outline. I think some of us may, some of us may know this verse, Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of the instructed, that I should know how to sustain the weary with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the instructed one. I've often been touched by this verse, but I've never put it together with this verse in the Song of Songs 4:11. About the seeker, your lips drip fresh honey. You know, when honey drips from someone's mouth, it's very slow, you know. It's not like pouring out, you know, I mean, if I drip water, it just, you know, goes everywhere. Honey is very slow. It moves slowly, and it drips slowly. And I enjoyed Brother Lee's kind of application of this for our experience. He said, well, you know, this is in the context of God's desire for us to take possession of this good land, which is a land flowing with milk and honey. And then here's a little application. This milk and honey needs to be dripping from our mouth slowly. You know, this is something. Honey is sweet and it restores the stricken ones. 1 Samuel 4, you see this with David's son. He said, no one can eat until the battle is won. But he was so, you know, distressed. He needed a little something, and he just took a little honey, and his eyes got bright. Honey really restores the stricken ones, right? And this sweetness, Frank mentioned, is not produced overnight. It comes from a long period of gathering, inward activity, and careful storage. And that's the last Roman numeral, which I'll cover, this matter of taking the time to gain this storage of the Lord's word. Then I enjoy this. This from the mouth of the maiden issue forth sweet and refreshing words, not gossip, not jokes or rash words. Her words are not the outbursts of torrents. You know, sometimes we just let it all out. And I was very exposed by this week, because I'm this kind of a person. If something happens, and you know, then I just pour everything, just torrents come out of my mouth. Nothing like slowly, sweet, and dripping. Oh, Lord Jesus. But drops, okay, her words are not outbursts of torrents, but drops of honey from the honeycomb. This is the slowest kind of dripping. Some people have the urge to speak. I don't want you to raise your hand. I just tell you that I'm like this. Their words are like the babbling of brooks. This is quite exposing. Even when they speak about spiritual things, the way they speak shows that they have not passed through the deeper works of grace. I'm just reading from day two of the Holy Word here. It's quite something. But in this verse, we can notice not only her lips slowly dripping sweet honey, but the things that are stored up within her. The milk and honey is not only on top of her tongue, but under her tongue. There's something stored in there. And of course, we know that the milk, the word is like the sweet milk, you know. So, brothers and sisters, we need to accumulate this kind of riches from the good land who is Christ. This is part of the good land that we are rooted in, and we need to take the time to accumulate these kind of riches so that our words would not be torrents, they would not be just flowing out nothing, right? Our words would be kind of a dripping. You know, I think I've had this experience. I think most of us have had this experience. Sometimes even just a greeting from a saint when you meet them is just honey to you. It's just milk to you. There's something very precious there. And that comes from a long time and, you know, a life of enjoying the word as the milk and as the honey and storing it up. And it mentions, and what? Inward activity. As we're taking the word in, there's something inward going on by the anointing of the Lord in our spirit. And that, you know, some repenting, some confessing, some consecrating, all these experiences of Christ are going on, and they are producing something under your tongue. They're producing something that you would have words of grace for those in the time of need. I think we all want to have this, so I think it's very, very precious. This Wednesday in the seniors' meeting, there were some testimonies. I hope some of the saints who enjoy this portion will testify of this. I'm going to cover the last Roman numeral in the outline from the week, and let me just read it to you. We can walk in Christ as our living land. I want you to remember this phrase. Our living land, and absorb Christ as our rich soil. Most of my burden is on this word, absorbing Christ, in which we have been rooted, so that we may grow with the elements that we absorb from the soil. So let's read Colossians 2, 7 and 8 one more time. 6 and 7. I know we've read them before, but these are the main verses for this last portion here. As therefore you have received the Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, having been rooted and being built up in him and being established in the faith, even as you were taught, abounding. You know, Paul wrote this to the Colossians, to the church in Colossae. And I think many of you know this. He had never met them. He was writing to a church and to brothers and sisters that he did not meet. He knew about them and he heard about them from his co-workers, from brothers that preached the gospel there, but he had never met them. And so I think this verse 2 of this chapter is very crucial. He prayed and he struggled that their hearts would be comforted. This is a very important point, brothers and sisters. Our heart needs to be comforted. If our heart is in turmoil, if our heart is anxious about things and we're just filled with, you know, worries about our living, our life, our family, our situation, our job, our you know, whatever, if we're occupied, if our heart is troubled by these things, you can spend a half an hour in the Word, you may not get anything. So their hearts needed to be comforted. And I think this is a very precious and important point. Our heart is very much related to our spirit. We talk a lot about our spirit, exercise our spirit. We do need to certainly exercise our spirit. But if our heart is not comforted, if our heart is in turmoil, you can call on the Lord for half an hour. I don't think you'll get that much. Because your heart is not in it. Your heart is not open to the Lord. We need a comforted heart. And after that comforting in verse 2, he comes to these verses that we need to walk in Christ. And I don't know if this has ever bothered you, but I was always bothered by these phrases. We need to walk in Christ. I enjoy that. I understand that. Then it says, having been rooted in him. And then that confuses me. How can I walk if I'm rooted? If you're rooted, you can't walk because you're rooted. You're kind of stuck there. And I enjoyed when our brother shared this in Thanksgiving. He said, well, the key is this phrase in the outline. It's a living land. We need to be rooted in this Christ. He is walking. This living land is walking. This living land is moving. And when we're walking and living in him, when we're abiding in him, we're walking with him. We need to pay attention to be found in Christ, to be rooted in Christ, and to walk in Christ. Having been rooted and being built up. And I think this phrase also, I misunderstood this. I've always thought this means be built up with you and with you, with the brothers and sisters in the church life. No, this is more being built up by growing in life individually and personally. And we use this phrase when we have our children and we're raising our children, and the more they eat, the more we realize they're growing, they're being built up in their human life, in their maturing physically and emotionally and even mentally. They're growing by learning, right? So this being built up is equal to growing, in Colossians 2:19, growing with the growth of God. So we are being walking in Christ by being rooted and being built up in Him and being established in the faith. Paul was very burdened for this. He prayed for this desperately. And he also, and one of the Colossians, Epaphras, in chapter 4 also was struggling in prayer that they would be filled with the full knowledge of God's will. So I think this is a very, I was touched very much by this section. So we'd just like to close with a few points of what are the elements of this in this soil. You know, if you were a plant rooted in some soil, you're getting all your nutrients from the elements in that soil. So in Colossians chapter 2, verses 5 through, how far does it go? 11? 5 through 11, you have all the elements in this soil. That's right, 5 through 11. So we're just going to walk through them a little bit so that we can understand this full, get a description and a definition of Christ as this soil, that in which we don't lack anything. Everything we need is in Christ, right? So as we take time to behold Him, to absorb Him, we have this wonderful hymn we're going to sing at the end, take time to behold Him. The more we take time to absorb Him and to behold Him, the more we are gaining the riches in this soil. Okay, so let's start with verse 8. Beware that no one carries you off as spoil through his philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. Read verse 9 together. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. This is the first element in this soil. Christ, in Him, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you spend time to send your roots down into this precious Christ, into this soil, you receive the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then verse 10 says, and you having been made full in Him. This is very, very precious. This Greek word that Paul uses that we translated as made full means completion. Perfection. Let me read all of the things here it talks about. Satisfaction and full accomplishment. In Christ, as the soil, we are filled, completed, perfected, satisfied, and thoroughly supplied. Why? Because in Him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. So as we're absorbing Him, taking time to enjoy Him, to be filled with Him, we are completed. We are saturated. We are satisfied. And we are fully, He accomplishes everything for us because He is the fullness of the Godhead. And He thoroughly supplies our every need. Praise the Lord. That is a wonderful item that we enjoy the more time we spend with the Lord. Okay, then verse 11 says, wait a minute. Okay, still the end of verse 10. Who is the head of all rule and authority? You know, today in our society right now in this country, many, many people have a problem with rule and authority. And they are reviling against authority. You know, I'm certainly not political, trying to be political, or I'm not political, and I'm not interested in politics. But I am concerned that this society is reviling against authority. And the Bible says we need to pray for our authorities, and we need to come under the rule of our authorities. And Christ Himself is the head of all rule and authority. If you take time to enjoy Him, to absorb Him, to be filled with Him, you will be right with all authority. You will be filled with the head of all rule and authority. And you will have no problem. There is no ruler of any country or of any county or of any state that has not been placed there by our God. We believe this. This is what the Bible tells us. And we may not like them personally, their personality. We may not like the way they do things. That's beside the point. We still honor the authority that has been imbued and placed upon them. And for us to do that, we need to absorb this Christ. We need to spend more time with this Christ because he is the head of all rule and authority. Then verse 11. Now, there are also some negative things inside of us. In the reading, it mentions three categories, you know, of negative things. There's our flesh, right? There are the ordinances, not just the outward ordinances that were nailed to the cross, but there we have self-ordinances. We make up rules and regulations for ourselves, and we have a hard time keeping them, so we get condemned because we have not kept these ordinances. And then there are evil rulers and authorities in the air. These three categories of items, of things that are frustrating us from being rooted, that are frustrating us from growing in the Lord. And so in this soil, you have the antidote for these. In verse 11, in him you also were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of flesh, in the circumcision of Christ. The flesh has been cut off in the circumcision of Christ. So the more we enjoy him, the more our flesh is dealt with. Then verse 12, buried together with him in baptism, in which also you were raised together with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. In this soil, there is the burial. We were baptized into him. We were buried with him. There's also the being raised together with him. And in verse 13, he made us alive together with him. We're enlivened by him. All these are elements in the soil that which we can absorb and be filled with. These are all the riches of Christ in this marvelous soil. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let me just finish this portion. Amen. With this point. Let me mention verse 15. Stripping off the rulers and the authorities, he made a display of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This talks about Christ dealing with the evil spirits in the atmosphere. These are the third item, category of things that frustrate our growth. He has stripped them off. He has a full victory over all these evil spirits. Today, in the atmosphere all around us, there is this evil environment and this evil atmosphere. But we can absorb the one who is victorious and has stripped off all these evil spirits. Then lastly, we must take time to enjoy the Lord as the all-inclusive land, so that all these elements of Christ as the rich soil may be absorbed into us, for us to be made full in him. And for this, we need the tender root hairs every day. If any of you grow plants or have plants in the house or in your garden, you realize that the real nutrients come from the new root hairs that the plant is sending out day by day to absorb the nutrients in the soil. And if our roots are just old and stale and we had some enjoyment last month but nothing fresh this month, we need some new roots. So we need to spend some time that morning, and I did this week. Oh, Lord, I need new roots. I need a fresh consecration. Turn my heart fresh to you. To get some new roots to gain some new elements of Christ as the time, according to the time we spend with him. You know, our brother shared in this message a very practical point. We are all so busy that one of our main problems in spending the time to absorb him is that we're too rushed. And one of the saints in the Wednesday morning seniors meeting mentioned this, you know, and they put it this way. I thought it was quite good because now I've entered into this realm, you know. Why am I rushing? I'm retired. I've got nothing to do here. But still, even in retirement, we're always, you know, I got this, I've got that to do. We rush through our morning revival time. Well, whether you're working or you're retired, you're at home with the kids, or you know, you're on a break, if you want to gain more of this Christ, you can't rush things. You cannot rush. You have to take some time. So you may have to adjust your schedule. We all have to had to do this over time, and adjust our schedule so that we have more time to enjoy the Lord. I think on day 6 it mentions something like this. We need to forget our situation, our condition, our failures and our weaknesses, and simply take time to enjoy the Lord. Take time to absorb Him and assimilate Him and the rich elements from Him in the soil. If you take time to absorb the Lord, you will be able to testify that in Christ you have no lack. If you spend 30 minutes to absorb the Lord and to enjoy Him in the morning, I enjoy this very much, you will not be bothered by negative things during the day. The quote flies and the quote scorpions will not pester you, for the elements in the soil will repel them. And I think if you've spent enough time during the day, you've experienced this. But too often we rush and we don't gain enough of the Lord. So let's just, I'll close here, and I would love to hear from all of you what you've enjoyed.